Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Successful Farming Podcast. I'm Jody Henke. This podcast is brought to you by Grasshopper. Do more on Mow Day with a Grasshopper mower made for a smooth cut from the fields to your front lawn. The dairy business hasn't been kind to many producers over the past few years, but there are people who are looking to get into dairying, whether as continuing the family business or starting their own from scratch. In this episode, Successful Farming's Mark Moore talks with South Dakota State University Extension experts Tracy Erickson and Heather Gassner about the nuts and bolts of getting started in a dairy business.
I kind of want to get that, broad brush look at it. Not so much from the standpoint of, yes, maybe someone joins their father's or their parents' operation. That's a young person starting in dairying, but looking more at the fact of, you're starting fresh, some things to think about, some things to work on. And one of the things too, I talked with a producer, a younger producer yesterday. He's been his parents' operation, or his dad and uncle, for about 10 years now. And when he started out, he typically wasn't like he didn't start fresh, but his dad went to him and said, okay, it's either the cows or crops. What do you want to do? And this kid had his ag ed degree, and he studied it, did a spreadsheet, figured everything out, and said, okay, we can make it work, but we've got to double the size of our herd and do this and do that. He had all those specifics in mind. Technically, he wasn't starting a brand new dairy, but he was starting on a new path because he really push the pencil to it. So, if you're beginning any business operation, you're going to push the pencil. But for dairying, maybe there's another step that needs to be implied and done. I grew up on a dairy farm and I want to be a dairy farmer, but they may not have that all-encompassing ideas that they need to have, especially in today's environment.
It's kind of ironic, Mark, that you mentioned that, because I put together a few notes for our visit here this morning. Right at the top, I wrote success and details. And I think Heather would probably conjure with this that, you got to have records and you've got to analyze them. You got to look at them and you got to put a business plan together. And that I would agree with what that young gentleman is doing and, in the direction that he's taken with trying to figure out how to get a vision and a plan in place.
Yeah, a lot of what we talk about, so I'm working with some young producers on an 8-week program, and we pretty much start at the very beginning. You have to know what your goal is so that you can then start and figure out, if this guy's plan is to double his operation, how are we going to do that? And what's the financial steps and production steps that we need to take in order to make that happen? Especially for those kids coming into a new operation or creating their own farm, determining what they want to produce, how they're going to produce it, where they're going to sell it, and putting those production goals together combined with their personal goals of, if I want to have a family, a budget of $20,000 coming from the operation, and then we've got off-farm income that makes up the rest. You need to know where that income's coming from, what your streams of resources are going to be, when cash is coming in, when cash is going out. So your financial statements and having all of those things put together and fixing the problems before you're able to go into a lender and say, hey, can you loan me money? Their likelihood of saying yes increases if you don't have huge outstanding student debt remaining or bad credit card debt remaining and those types of things. So looking at your operation before you would take that step into financing an operation or buying ground or buying a cow, knowing what your personal situation is going to be very important to those kids taking that first step, you know, and that might be some of their first goals that they have to implement.
You know, and I'll agree with you, Heather. I mean, just like I said, with that business plan, good credit rating, understanding those financial goals that you may have and putting them down on paper is really critical. The other piece that she mentioned too, which I absolutely agree with, is finding a banker that understands agriculture and more importantly, understands dairy is going to be critical as you work into starting or growing a dairying operation. The other piece before we get into technical things, Mark, is that, you know, putting a team together, but along with that, at the top of that is communication between your team of experts or between your family or between people you're partnering with to start in dairy, or if you're starting where you're working on a dairy and, you know, gaining some expertise that way and you're trying to grow equity through maybe starting with cows, which is the best way to do it, is to start with building a cow herd because there's no depreciation there. You know, before you start investing in machinery and in buildings and facilities, you know, grow your cow herd, partner with people, get that expertise, especially on a good dairy farm, and put those things together as you put your business plan in place.
Well, I mean, it's been, to say the least, a very difficult time for dairy production in, you know, the past several years. I mean, there have been glimmers here and there, but, you know, again, there are still producers that are actually doing well, considering, I mean, maybe not as good as they thought they could, but they're keeping their heads above water. But for someone starting out, when they look at that situation, are you seeing, are you getting those comments of people that, you know, they're still interested in saying, hey, this is what I want to do. How can I do it most effectively?
Yeah, we are actually. I had one here a little over a month ago contact me and look at his financials and business plan, wanting to do a fresh startup. Dairy obviously has been working in other areas, you know, gaining income and supporting his family and stuff, but wants to start his own dairy. Yes, there are people out there that are wanting to do this. And actually, that's where the dairy industry is going to have to continue to look if we're going to be viable with people, because there is a shrinking number of farms out there, so that lends to less people coming back into the dairy industry to take over these operations, but it still requires labor and management. So we need to look outside of our traditional circle of regeneration, in other words, to people with limited dairy experience who are willing and have the desire, and I underline desire, to come back and to maybe be their own business managers in the dairy industry. You know, and the other thing is, yes, dairy has seen some, I will call it, really great highs and really great lows in the last 10 years in regards to milk prices and expenses, and it's been a constant roller coaster. So, you know, what Heather has referred to with financials and business plans is extremely important. You've got to know your cost of production. You've got to have those details. And along with that, put together a risk management plan and take advantage of programs such as dairy margin coverage to help you ride out those times when the markets are in big swings and get through those financial rough spots. It may require you, as Heather will say, going in and getting a second job, you know, but you got to provide for cost of living, but you also need to have realistic cost of living, you know, and live within a realm that's affordable for your operation. Heather, other thoughts on that?
Yeah, and that's the big thing, is when you're putting all those plans together, is realistic numbers. You know, today a dairy cow might be worth $2,500. Tomorrow she might be worth $800, depending on what the market's doing back and forth. So you got to have those realistic figures in there. And, you know, when you're trying to figure out your milk price, even making sure that we're not dealing with inflated numbers, or, you know, even in the high third of the historical numbers for prices when you're putting your profits together, because that's what really, you know, crashes in the 80s were, because people didn't put respectable numbers into their balance sheets. And then when prices fell out of bed, they fell out hard. We like to produce a lot and we like to sell at high prices. So when we put our price forecasts and our budgets together, we like to guess that we're going to sell high. And
it's like when you go to Vegas, you never talk about losing money. You always talk about winning, right?
Right. So.
The other thing I might mention with that is, as we look to like successful dairy producers and also to successful farmers, you know, we're all really good at production agriculture, which is growing crops or producing milk at high production levels. We love to do it. Though the really successful farm managers are those that spend the time analyzing the data in the books and are also good if they have to hire help at taking the time to manage people. Those aren't the fun tasks, but those are the ones ultimately that will make or break you in your operation a lot of times. You know, if you don't have a good checkbook, I'd start there. Balancing your checkbook is a very basic skill, and keeping records of where you're spending those expenses. Invest in a software program such as Quicken or QuickBooks or any financial management program for keeping records, and start with that and then start building your skill set from there. And if you don't have that knowledge, reach out to experts to get the help and get the skills to get from point A to point B.
When we come back, Mark gives an example of how one new dairy producer is handling the farm finances and why his method will come in handy in the future. Stay tuned. When it's mow day, you want a mower that'll start right up, do the job, and keep you feeling good while you're working. Grasshopper mowers cut and ride smooth with an out-front deck that cuts way more in less time, giving you a clean, even cut whether you're facing obstacles in the field like ditches and fence line or just striping the front lawn. The versatility of the Grasshopper lets you move from one to the other seamlessly, so your work is that much closer to done. Grasshopper mowers, committed to the cut.
The producer that I was talking with, it was actually quite an eye-opening one, is he mentioned that he has his book on when he did all the calculations on expanding the herd. And he says, I'm going to keep it because I worked on it a long time. But he even talked about having a spreadsheet that he's got all his expenses and things figured out to 2024. He said, I'm a little anal that way. I'm like, well, you know, everybody should be that way. But he said, I make changes. I adjust, but I at least have some idea of where I stand at any given moment. Like a business plan is not, you set it and you forget it. It's nurtured. You have to adjust, but just having that roadmap kind of tells you where you want to go. You may not use the same road that you started out on, yet you know what your ultimate goal is.
Having that cash flow statement laid out, he can make edits and adjustments to that cash flow. So feed price, you know, corn's went through the roof lately. So that means his price of silage went up, his price of hay is going up, his price of corn and distillers and everything else that he's using on everything from baby calves to the slaughter steers, you know, price of producing each one of those goes up. He can now make more informed marketing decisions on forward contracting steers or using any of the risk management tools or milk or raising the feeder calves or selling slaughter cows, you know, the whole shebang he gets a better grasp on because he knows what his expenses are and how much money he needs to come up with at the end of the day. So you can make marketing decisions and risk management decisions because you have a clue what's going on versus those guys that just grumble at the feed store. Oh, price of feed went up again. Darn it. Price of milk isn't going up. So yeah. I guess I'm just going to live with less money this month.
Heather is absolutely right. I don't know a banker, we're in farming ourselves, you know, that you don't have to work with that doesn't require you to not only do a balance sheet, but a cash flow, asset inventory. All those things are done on an annual basis. But more importantly, you need to look at them throughout the year, not just once a year, but throughout the year. Ask yourself about, you know, loans. What's your highest interest loans? What can you pay off to get, you know, less debt quicker to help you continue to move your business plan forward? But the other thing I liken it to is that, you know, we really need to stop and think in agriculture and realize that, yes, we are businesses. Most people do realize that. But also knowing our cost of production is extremely important. And if you liken it to any business such as, you know, a small business or even a big box store or whatever, if you have products in that store, you darn well know they know what it's costing them to purchase them or produce them and to distribute them, and what their margin is that they need for profit to be able to be fluid and have a positive cash flow. We in agriculture have to continuously do that also, and that's a very important task. So that young gentleman, for having that forecast out 4 years, kudos and hats off to him.
He would be the unicorn in the group.
Well, I mean, I guess that's part of the reason for this article is that, I mean, I'm being from Wisconsin, obviously seeing things firsthand is kind of eye-opening. Of course, everybody goes and does a story of woe is me, but they never talk to the producer who actually, yeah, they may grumble about prices, who doesn't, but yet they're still profitable to a certain extent. But those producers as well, they'd be good managers of a car dealership or managers of a, you know, they just happen to be in agriculture. You know, their skill sets go on. I mean, just because you're good with cows does not mean that you're going to be a good dairy producer.
Because, well, you might be a good dairy producer. You're just not a very good manager of your
right.
dairy. Right,
exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. Because it is. It's you know, and it's difficult because you see some of these, again, Wisconsin, when prices were at rock bottom, you know, the local newspapers obviously go out and they do the stories of the woe is me. And then I talk to the more progressive producers and they pull those articles out and they look at them and they say, well, look at this. Why did they do this? Why did they invest this? Why did they, you know, they ask those questions. It's not a slight on anyone, but it is the fact that you've got to do your homework. And especially now, because the price of land is higher, the price of inputs are higher, the price of everything is higher, but yet you've got to know how much it's going to cost for you per hundredweight. And if you don't know that, how can you know if you're making money or not?
You know, Mark, one thing that, as I mentioned earlier, you have to have a good team.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And you have to surround yourself with good people who can provide you with good knowledge and advice, because we don't know everything. We can't physically know everything out there. And so you need to seek out these experts, and it may be even hiring someone. If you're not good at bookkeeping and that's, you know, that's an essential thing, then maybe you look to hire someone and build that into your budget to keep your books and help you with the data on a daily basis. But you need to commit the time then to go back and look at that data and understand it. But if those tasks, that's not something you enjoy, but you know what's necessary, that is something that, you know, could be built in. Good people and surrounding yourself with that knowledge and taking the time to analyze it and look at it, extremely important. So that helps for successful operations.
If I'm going in, besides the good business plan, what are some of the other things that I need to either be aware of or consider?
It depends upon the operation. You've got ones that are, maybe they're going to be growing up their operation within a family. And I want Heather to visit about transition plans and things like that. The other thing which I can get into is some of the nuts and bolts of starting an operation that you need to consider along the lines of the regulatory waste management plans, you know, those other things. So, but Heather, why don't you talk about transition plans, or if you're starting an operation from scratch, some of those things you might want to consider.
Some of the first stuff when you're looking at the multi-generational operation and, you know, you as an individual, there's a lot of income. So, you know, we're talking about transitioning assets and management and ownership. So we're looking at maybe a business structure. So maybe we set it up as an LLC. So you have the ability to transition the operation seamlessly from one generation to the next. Expenses are controlled by this LLC and you get your owner's draw from the LLC. But that provides you with a layer of security from any liabilities. actions taken against you. You know, if there's an accident or something, you know, the operation or the business might struggle, but you as a person and your family are less financially impacted if there's a situation there. But when you put it into that LLC, that gives that transition control mechanism an actual footing, and the management can then be transferred to that next generation kid that wants to come back to the operation. Because he who runs the checkbook basically runs the operation. And if you're working with dad as a sole proprietorship and dad has the checkbook and dad takes care of all the expenses and all the income comes into dad, basically dad makes all the decisions. So if we're looking at actual transition of that management and that, you know, finance situation, we're starting to make those decisions together and communication happens and needs to occur between the two generations that are farming together to have that move forward. So you're looking at some of those transition mechanisms in that format so that the LLC owns the cows. Dad doesn't own the cows. I don't own the cows. But, you know, maybe dad maintains ownership of the barn or something like that so that there is that equity component tied into things. The big thing as you're starting out as an individual, in addition to the regulations and stuff that you need to make sure, you know, setting yourself up as an LLC or some type of business structure, again, provides that safety net for the business having a financial situation, not necessarily your family having a situation if something bad happens. So some of those types of things and looking really deep into what you want to have happen, you know, whether you're setting up a business that's going to be a small organic dairy that bottles your own, you know, you've got a whole different business structure than saying I'm going to set up a 2,000 to 3,000 head dairy operation and I'm going to sell it to whatever the biggest guy next to me that's going to give me the best price is. So, you know, those types of structures and situations are going to have different financial requirements, different labor needs and resources that you have to really look into seriously, in addition to the regulation and all the different rules that you have to know for doing one or the other or a combination of the two. So there's tons of things involved and it's really hard just to say, do this, because everybody's operation is going to be so different that the steps are going to be very much unlinear for whatever your goals are and what you want to have happen.
You know, when you think of LLC and business plans and even transition plans as well, I mean, you think of, okay, it's the parents giving to the children as far as the children coming back to the farm or something like that. But you're saying as well, these things need to be thought of even if you're just starting out to make sure that you have that structure in place. It just probably make things a lot easier, not only from a financial standpoint, but also from a, you know, if something happens to the farm or something happens, whatever, that you're not only protected, but that you're secure as well.
Yeah, because it provides they call it a veil of separation between you and the business. So say you want to get started in dairying and you're going to start with 100 cows and you're going to bottle your own and you're going to add the agritourism part and you're going to bring busloads of students in and you're bringing in nursing homes to come see the cows and whatever else your plan might entail. An accident happens and somebody's either really hurt bad and can't walk anymore, or God forbid somebody dies and they sue you, they sue the business and not you. And while it will hurt your business, they don't have access to your personal house or your wife's job or your private IRAs that you have set up from other jobs and stuff, because that's not part of the business. So okay, it does require additional bookkeeping, which people don't necessarily like, but you have a set of books for the business and you have a set of books for you. And when you buy groceries with your checkbook. And when we buy AI supplies, we buy them with the business's checkbook and keep those things very separate. You really are two different things. So we can go after this as part of our backup plan.
So how do you make money on a dairy farm these days? When we come back, you'll learn the latest trends in producing a positive cash flow. Stay tuned. Get more done on mow day in less time with a Grasshopper zero-turn mower. Stripe, mulch, and bag trimmings from the fields to the front yard without skipping a beat. Edging? No longer necessary. Maintenance and cleanup? Easy with a powerful deck that lifts with the press of a button. Only Grasshopper gives you the cut, speed, and durability to stand up to farm life. Grasshopper mowers, committed to the cut.
What producers looking at more than just say, you know, okay, I'm going to milk X amount of cows and I'm going to ship the milk off to wherever? Are we seeing a lot too of like maybe organic, I know has been big, but the agrotourism or the fact that we're going to make this a complete structure, not just a dairy farm. Maybe not as big, obviously, but, you know, they're able to have other areas of income or other sources of income without maybe having the investment in, you know, herd or parlor or, you know, all that that goes along with it.
Some of the things that we've been seeing is an increased interest in on-farm processing, especially in smaller operations, tying that in maybe with the robotic dairies. If you're say a 200 to 400 cow dairy, somewhere in there, they're adding, looking to add income or to grow in those regards. If there's a populous base or a way that they can market additional product out through on-farm processing and take advantage of those things. So those have been growing recently. We also see dairies looking to expand too. You know, obviously it's all dependent upon consumer demand, but also tied into that is, I'll mention some of the things that need consideration. One, checking into marketing your product. Well, it's really important to make sure that you've got a place to market your milk through and making sure that you have a processor that's willing to purchase your product and that has capacity to take on your product. So make sure that you check with processors in addition to price and what their rules and contracts are for marketing your milk. So in addition to that, you know, checking with your local regulatory division in your state to find out what all the rules and regulations are so that you can adequately follow the PMO when you're putting together your operation, if you're starting new or if you're expanding. Obviously, if you're part of something already and you're, say, a father and a son or a daughter that's coming up through the ranks, husband, wife, whatever it might be, and working through that, you know, obviously that dairy probably is meeting those regulations if they're already marketing milk. But if you're looking to grow or expand your operation, once again, I go back to checking with your processor and see if they have the capacity to take on additional milk. And that's going to be really important. So those are some of the big ones. Oh, and the other one too to think about is waste management, because working with your local either DENR or Environment and Natural Resources Office, whichever it may be in your state, and making sure that if you're expanding, you know what those regulations are. If you reach X number of cows, what kind of plans are you going to have in place? Those types of things to meet all the waste management requirements. You know, and the other thing, the last thing I might mention is the FARM program, which is F-A-R-M, Farmers Assuring Responsible Management. Pretty much, I think we're at about 95 to 98% of the processors now require all their producers to follow that program to be able to market milk. So make sure that you're going to be able to meet those requirements as you market product back to the processors.
The innovation, I guess, that some of the things that producers have come to you or you have seen as far as newer operations and, you know, hey, I never thought of this, or, you know, maybe again, the on-farm processing, I guess, has always been a part of it. I know in Wisconsin, that's a huge thing that a lot of these smaller operations, in fact, one by me that I've known for years, you know, they started their own cheese line that basically got them through the past few years because it's done very well. So are you surprised at the innovation that you've seen as far as what some of these ideas that people have come up with and that have actually made them work?
And I'm going to let Heather also chime in on this. Some of the things on the dairy side, because the on-farm processing is really started to take off here in the I-29 corridor and expand, partly because for a while there was, you know, limited processing capacity available. And now that we've added processors, so there's more market for the milk, you know, it's kind of a chicken and egg scenario. You got to have enough capacity to process milk, but also enough milk to keep processors growing too. And so it's a fine line we walk, but we are now in the I-29 corridor seeing expansion on the side of on-farm processing, especially as populations concentrate in certain areas, and also with smaller operations looking to other ways to innovate and bring income back to the farm. One of the things that I think has probably been the most unique, you know, we've got a couple of them in addition to doing on-farm processing, but as Heather mentioned, the side about the LLC that's been really important to consider is a lot of those farms are also adding the on-farm experience to their business. In other words, doing farm tours, agritourism, things like that. That brings in a whole new realm of things to consider with your business plan. It can be very viable, but it does take a lot of other considerations that people need to talk about. So Heather, I don't know if you want to follow up with anything there.
Yeah, so not last year, obviously, because we didn't get to travel anywhere. So it must have been 2019. I was actually at some meetings in Madison, Wisconsin, and we toured two or three farms that were in transitional stages. One of them was working on third generation. One was a new startup, you know, but they had added that agritourism component. So when they built the new parlor and put in the new robots, the two robots are in front of glass so that everybody can see. And then they bring in all kinds of stuff. The number of visitors that they had every year was phenomenal. You know, the baby calves are behind glass so that you can go see where the calves are nursing, you know, when they feed baby calves and those types of things, or watch a calf be born, you know, the whole shebang. They've set it up specifically for that. And they were attributing some of their success and their ability to grow and keep the farming operation viable to that when milk prices were low, because they could still charge however many dollars a head, and they brought busloads of people out during their fall extravaganza or whatever they called it. You know, so there's a lot of those things that are happening, and, you know, ice cream or cheese or our own bottling, you know, those are different ways that the next generation or the non-farmed kid can get started in dairy without having a monster situation, you know, a monster business to grow into or start with. You just got to make sure that you're watching all those new regulations or different regulations that you might not even consider having to think about. Do you have your serve safe food license if you're going to start making food for human consumption? It's not something people think about. We're just going to start bottling our own milk and selling it. Well, what are all the regulations in your state that are required? Can you ship it across state lines, and how are you going to ship it so that it stays cold and it stays good, and all those millions of different questions that need to be asked. So, you know, putting together your dairy business is easy. Putting together your value-added dairy business adds a whole nother set of things that you might not have considered. So lots of components and lots of moving parts in all of it.
Do you guys have any other thing that you might want to add, or any other thoughts or comments? Or,
well, I'll summarize one thing that, you know, is at the top of my list of things is, one, again, success is in the details. Put it in writing, get a vision, and then make sure that you're communicating with your network of people to help you grow and be successful.
That communication factor is going to be huge, especially if you're starting a brand new operation or you're going in for a large loan to redo a parlor or add an electronic milker, you know, whatever you're trying to do. You need to communicate with your lender. You can't just be secretive about what you want to have happen or what you're doing. They need to be involved. Your accountant should be involved so that you can make sure that you're on the same page there. So whoever your team is, and your team can be big or small depending on what you feel your strengths are or where you prefer to work in. You know, maybe you like the numbers and you hire somebody to manage the cows. It doesn't mean that you're not a dairyman because you're not out having cows or, you know, moving them into the milking parlor. Maybe you're the finance guy and you want to know what the numbers are. So communicating with all of those that are involved, from hired men that do nothing but scrape manure all day to those that are your financial backers, is huge.
Yep, you got to know what you're good at and what you like doing.
Well, listen, you guys, thank you very much for taking time with me today. I certainly appreciate it.
Thanks to Mark Moore for hosting this podcast, to Grasshopper for their sponsorship, and to Tracy Erickson and Heather Gassner for their expertise. And thank you for listening. For Successful Farming, I'm Jody Henke.